He is risen. Hallelujah. I have a question for you as we get started this morning. Have you ever been confused? And I don't mean by your kids' math homework. Anybody here ever found yourself just in the middle of a circumstance and you're just confused about why?
Yeah.
I don't understand, God. I thought I made the right decision. I don't understand, God. I thought I was doing the right thing. Or it might be, God, I know I've not been doing the right thing, but I'm confused about how to get back on track. Maybe you were brought up in church and you wandered away from church and you found yourself in a place one morning. You're like, how in the world did I get here? And you had no idea how to get back. Maybe you haven't been in church very much and you've heard about all the different religions of the world and you're confused about, well, which one's the correct one? How do I know what to believe? How do I know who to believe? But how many of you in here, at some point in your life, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, whether you're walking right with God today, or, well, I'm a Christian, but if I'm being honest, Pastor, I can't really say I'm right with God. Whether life is good or whether life is bad, you're like, sometimes I get confused. Anybody like that? I get that way. It's a tough place to be, isn't it? Especially when you're trying to do what's right. And then life just smacks you upside the head. For those that were here last Sunday, and you know I didn't show up, it wasn't because I didn't want to. It's because I was on my way home from Knoxville, Tennessee last Saturday night, and my car just quit going up the mountain to Crossville. And I sat on the side of the highway for 2 hours waiting on a tow truck. Then my wife comes and picks me up, and she has a flat. And at that point, okay, I give God, you don't want me to go to church tomorrow. We had no way to get back, and I was just, but I had to just constantly remind myself, you know what, you got to preach a sermon about being confused here in a couple weeks, so you better kind of live right for the next few weeks. As I'm trying to figure out all my car situations and all of that stuff going on, it was a good reminder. And I'm so glad that God had been preparing my heart for Easter Sunday. Today we're going to go to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to talk about remembering the resurrection. And I know it's a little bit warm in here. I don't know if anybody can turn the air on or not. I don't know. I'm kind of warm myself. Maybe we can open up some doors, but we'll be okay. They didn't have air conditioning on the original Easter Sunday either, by the way. So if they can tolerate it, we can tolerate it. But we're going to look in Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at two men who were confused. They were confused because plans did not go as expected. Well, their plans didn't go as expected. God's plan went exactly as it was supposed to go. They were expecting something from Jesus, and that didn't happen. And then they saw Jesus crucified, and they were crushed, and they were devastated. And now it's the third day, it's Sunday morning, and they've heard rumors, and they've heard stories, but they're confused, and they don't know what to believe. So they decide, we're just going to go home. We're just going to give in. We're just going to quit. We're going to give up because we don't know what to do now. All our plans have been wrecked and destroyed, and we don't know what our next step is, so I guess we'll just go home. And as we pick up the story in verse 13 of Luke 24, Luke tells us, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day, we're talking about the original Easter morning, that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they had to walk, so 7 miles would have been about a two-hour journey on foot. That's quite a trek. Well, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. You know, Palm Sunday, the week before, where everybody's shouting Hosanna and expecting Jesus to conquer the Romans. And then Jesus turning over tables in the temple. And they're like, well, that's different, but I think I kind of like that. And then Jesus getting into the confrontation with the Pharisees. And now, like, wait a minute, they're the religious leaders. Why are they arguing? And then all of a sudden, Friday morning, they discover he's been arrested. And now he's crucified and he's dead? Wait a minute, that's not what I thought was going to happen. And so they're talking about all of these things. Well, so it was while they conversed and they reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And I believe God held them back from understanding who Jesus was for a while because God had a plan and God had a purpose. And he wanted transformation in these young men, or old men, we're not sure how old they were. And so he held them back from understanding who Jesus was at that moment. Well, Jesus, said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then one, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And you've not known the things which have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." And I want you to pay attention to what he called him. They called him a prophet, mighty in deed. And hang on to that thought. They continued, "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." And hang on to that thought. "Indeed, besides all this, today's the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And so Jesus says, "Tell me what's going on." And he's walking down the road and they're telling him all these things. Well, this happened and that happened. And now we've heard that this tomb is empty, but nobody's seen the body of Jesus. And we thought he was going to be the Redeemer of Israel. We thought he was the Savior of the world until he was crucified. And now we think, well, maybe he was just a mighty prophet of God. My friend, Jesus Christ is not a prophet. He is the Son of God. Amen. He is the risen Savior. He is the only hope for salvation for mankind. Amen. There are folks that think Jesus was just a man. That is not true. There are folks that think he was a great religious leader. That is not true. There are some that think he was a quack. That is not true. My friend, he is the risen Savior. But in their confusion, they had lowered him from Son of God to a prophet. I wonder, how many times in our confusion do we lower the Son of God to merely a prophet? Oh, we would never say it. We're too good of Christians to say it out loud. But how many times have our words and our behavior have said, well, maybe he really isn't God, because my plans didn't go the way I had planned them. And I thought God could do anything, and he didn't take care of my plans the way I wanted him to. And we've lowered the Son of God to something of mere mortal. You see, they forgot. In their confusion, they forgot who Jesus is. Not only that, they forgot who Jesus said, or what Jesus said. How many times in the middle of your confusion do you forget what Jesus has said to you? Words like this, found in Hebrews 13. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness." In other words, quit coveting things of this world and what other people have. Stop looking at other people and wanting what they want. He goes, "Be content with such things as you have. Be content with the life that God has given you. For he himself," talking about Jesus there, "for he himself," Jesus has said this, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." How many times in the midst of your confusion have you acted as if Jesus had left you and forsaken you? But Jesus said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll walk right beside you the whole time." And so because of that, we can say this. We can boldly say, "The Lord is my" what? "The Lord is my helper. I will not" what?
"Fear."
How many times have we lashed out in fear? He goes, "What can man do to me? What can man do to the born-again Christian?" The worst they can do is kill this body. But for the Christian, you know what that means? It doesn't mean death. It means a ticket home. You can kill the body, but you cannot kill the spirit. You can kill the body, but you cannot kill the soul. And for the one that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the worst they can do, they can kill your body. But all that means is you get to see Jesus face to face.
Amen.
But how often do we forget the resurrection? And in our confusion, we act out in fear. We run and hide. We lash out because we've forgotten who Jesus is and we've forgotten what he said. Or how about this, found in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry. Now, that's a hard commandment to follow, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I got the gene of worry. I got it honestly. My mom was the queen of worry, and she passed it on, and I struggle all the time to make sure that I don't live that way, right? He says, don't worry. And you're going, well, come on, God, there's plenty of things to worry about. No, there's not. Don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Quit worrying about the temporal things of this world. He goes, for after all these things, all that stuff, the Gentiles or the unbelievers, they seek that. He goes, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows you need clothes. He knows you need food. Goodness, he created you. He knows exactly what you need. The problem is we keep asking God for stuff that we want. And he says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. He says, this is what your focus should be. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That if you will focus your daily life on the righteousness of God and serving the kingdom of God and get your mind off the temporal and get it focused on the eternal, God says, don't worry about the temporal. I got your back. I'll take care of it. So don't worry. God's got it. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Take care of the stuff today that you need to take care of and stop worrying about the stuff tomorrow. There's a good chance that it's not even going to happen. How many times have we worried about a storm that never showed up? How many times have you heard a tornado warning and you got all scared and tornadoes never appeared? Happens all the time around here. Doesn't it? And we get all worried about stuff. God says, you let me take care of tomorrow. You just do the next right thing today. But how often do we forget the resurrection? How often do we forget who Jesus is? How often do we forget what he says? And we crawl in our holes and run and hide. Or we lash out in anger because we didn't get what we wanted, or life didn't go our way. We cower in fear. And while we won't say it with our mouth, our actions are saying, you know what? I'm not sure I really believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so Jesus responds. And let's look at what Jesus had to say to these two men who are confused, walking on the road to Emmaus. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know what Jesus didn't do? He didn't pat them on the back and go, there. I understand. You're distressed. You're angry. You're hurting. You're frustrated. You're confused. It's okay. It'll be all right. No, he did not. He called them foolish and hard to believe. He called them out. Now, I don't think he wagged a finger, and I don't think he said it in anger, but he didn't certainly make them comfortable in their misery. He called them out for their lack of faith. He called them out for acting in fear. Remember when the apostles were with Jesus on the boat out in the sea and the hurricane hits and Jesus is asleep and they're scared to death and they wake Jesus up? What does he say? Well, I understand why you guys are afraid. That's not what he said, is it? He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." He called them out for their lack of faith. When we lash out, when we act out in fear, we are demonstrating a lack of faith in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as believers, we are called to live above the circumstances of this life. And we have no reason to fear because God has made promises to us. And God's word will never fail. Look at what Jesus said to his apostles on the night before his crucifixion. He said a lot. But in 16, verse 33, he goes, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have what? In me you may have peace." If you are walking with Jesus, you can walk in peace. I don't care how big the storm is. Oh, I wonder how we would act sometimes if Jesus were walking along beside us. I wonder how we would act in church if Jesus were sitting in the pew next to us. I'd be a lot less people watching on their phones, wouldn't there? Guess what? Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. God is watching. You and I can have peace this morning because of the resurrection. Jesus says, "In me you will have peace." In this world, you will have what? Oh, you can do better. In this world, you will have?
Tribulation.
What's that word mean? Trouble. Problems, right? Broken cars, low bank accounts, frustrated neighbors, frustrated spouse, kids that misbehave, sickness, visits to the doctor when you don't really want to go. You're going to have tribulation, Jesus said. Why do we act like this world's supposed to be perfect? We live in a broken, sinful world. And in this broken, sinful world, Jesus says you're going to have a lot of trouble. You're going to have tribulation. So go right ahead and moan and groan and whine and complain about everything. Well, I don't think that's what he said, is it? He says, you can have peace in me. You're going to have trouble. But do what? Be of what? Why? You guys want to come up and preach? Y'all are doing good. Jesus, you're going to have trouble. But that's not an excuse. As a believer, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. The Holy Spirit, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And he says, we are called to be of good cheer. We are called to live above our circumstances, to be an example to the unbelieving world of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ who is living in victory. Jesus, let's go back to that last verse here. With Jesus, he took them from the beginning. He says, in the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, throughout the entire Old Testament scriptures, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All throughout the Old Testament, God predicted a coming Savior, a coming Messiah. He even predicted that the Messiah would die and rise again. But they missed that part. And Jesus explained to them in the Scriptures how all of these things are supposed to take place concerning the Messiah. My friend, in the midst of their confusion, he took them to the Scriptures. In the midst of your confusion, run to the Bible. The Bible is the written word of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. When you are confused, sit with the Word of God. I like listening to preachers. I like listening to podcasts and Bible teachers. And we use video series to help us from time to time. And all those things are great. But my friend, there are times, especially in the midst of your trials and tribulations, in the midst of your confusion, you need to turn off the preacher. You need to turn off the video series. You need to turn off the phone. You need to turn off the TV. And you need to open your Bible and you need to sit with God and the Word of God.
Amen.
Because there's where you're going to find your answer. There's where you're going to find your peace. There's where you're going to find that I can be of good cheer because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I have nothing to fear. I like listening to preachers, but my friend, there is no substitute for you and God and the Bible all alone.
Yes.
In a quiet place. open up your Bible and turn to Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not
want.
See, y'all know the Word of God. Sometimes we just don't live it, and I'm guilty too. Or maybe you should open up the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is a letter about joy written by a man sitting in prison. Now, how is that possible? It is possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is possible because Paul knew Jesus. And Paul said, I don't care what happens to me as long as the gospel gets advanced. My friend, we got to stop living in fear because the resurrection gives us the hope that we need. Well, then they drew near to the village where they're headed. And Jesus indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. I mean, it's after supper time by the time they get home here. And he went in to stay with them. Well, now it came to pass as he sat at the table. I love this little section here. It's so good. It came to pass as he sat at the table with him that he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. What does that remind you of? Communion, the Lord's Supper. He breaks the bread. He prays over the bread. He hands them the bread. And what happens? Their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then he just vanishes from their sight. Before they could hang on, before they could ask more questions. Now, I just can't imagine what was going through their minds. Can you imagine the roller coaster? All of a sudden, you see Jesus, and then all of a sudden, he's gone. And you're like, okay, I'm not sure. Should I be scared? Should I be happy? I don't know what would have been feeling, right? But isn't that amazing? Well, he vanishes from their sight. You know why? His work for them had been done in that moment. He walked with them for those 7 miles to explain to them the scriptures so they would know who he is, so that they would be transformed. Because transformation is the gospel. And when his work was completed, it was time for him to move on to somebody else. Well, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Oh, my friend, when you sit with the Word of God and you open up your heart to the truth of the Word of God, it ought to burn within you. Maybe it should burn because you're convicted of your sin. But many times it's just burning with joy. We read stories about Noah and Moses and Jonah, which we're going to get to here in a couple weeks. And you read about what Jesus did for you and how he raised people from the dead and how he talked to the Samaritan woman and brought this woman grace and mercy that had never seen grace and mercy before. You open up the scriptures and you sit with the scriptures. It ought to impact your life and it ought to burn within you. So what did they do? They rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were there with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So fascinating. When they finally realized that Jesus was resurrected, when they finally realized that Jesus was alive, and they finally saw him and they understood the scriptures of what was going on, they were overwhelmed with joy. They didn't say, it's getting kind of late, maybe we should go to bed, we'll get up early next morning and go tell everybody. No, they were too excited to go to bed. They went back 7 miles, 2 more hours of walking, arriving in the evening, late at night, so they could tell their friends they had seen Jesus. Oh, God forgive us when we have lost our excitement to tell others what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
How many times do we just kind of put it to the side? Do we neglect? Do we act as if the resurrection was no big deal and God has not transformed or changed my life? How many times have we just been sort of ho-hum? Got to go to church. Got to be bored by that preacher again. rather than celebrating what God has done for us and telling others. My friend, what do we do when we're confused? What do you do when you're confused? Well, one thing you can do is you just simply do the next right thing. Remember, that's one of our values here at our church. Speak the truth in love. Do the next right thing. Do what you need to do today and let God take care of tomorrow. But my friend, this morning, what do you do when you're confused? Remember the resurrection. And remember, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means He is who He claims to be. He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who has sent the third person of the Trinity to you, the Holy Spirit, to indwell you, to empower you to live in victory in this broken, sinful world until the day where He comes back to get us and take us home. Remember the resurrection. And as we begin to close, I want to take us all the way back to the very beginning of the chapter. We're going to go back to Luke 24, beginning in verse 1. We're going to start the day over here. Luke says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they," it's talking about women, "they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared." These women, because they loved Jesus, they got up early on Sunday morning because that was the earliest opportunity they had to go to the tomb. They knew that His body had not been properly prepared for burial on Friday. So because they loved Him, they were headed to the tomb early Sunday morning to prepare His dead body for burial. That's what they were expecting to see. And I give them credit for doing this because of love, but they were misinformed. Like everybody else, they had kind of forgotten. And as they're approaching the tomb, we're told in another gospel, what are we going to do when we get there? How are we going to get that tomb open? But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. God had already taken care of that. God had already paved the way. The stone wasn't removed so that Jesus could get out. The stone was removed so that man could look in. Amen. The stone was rolled away. And so now they're confused. They're expecting to see a dead body. Now they're seeing a door open there. And they went in and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And the scriptures tell us it happened as they were what? Greatly perplexed about this. It didn't dawn on them just like that when they saw the empty tomb. Now they're confused. We came to find His dead body, but the body's not here. The tomb is empty. Well, they're confused. Two men stood by them. We know they're angels. And they're in shining garments. And then as they were afraid, because when you see an angel, you get afraid. That's what happens every time in the Bible. They were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" My friend, why do we seek life out there in the dead world when life is found in Jesus Christ? Why do we seek life at the bottom of a bottle when life is found in Jesus Christ? Why do we seek life in wallowing in our misery when life is found in the resurrected Jesus Christ? Why do we, like the women, go looking for a dead body when there is no dead body? You find life in Jesus. And when you are a part of the family of God and you come to church and you serve and you worship other believers, you find life. And what did the angel say? "He is not here, but He is what?
Risen."
He is risen. And then look what happened. They told them to what? Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee. And this is what Jesus said. "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." That's pretty clear, is it not? Jesus had told them over and over and over again before the crucifixion. But in their pain and in their anguish, they forgot. Now, let's not beat them up too much, because if you'd have been in their shoes, you'd have done the same thing.
Amen.
Because we're all sinful men. They didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling them like we do today. So the angels say, "Remember what He told you?" And you know what the women did? They remembered. They're like, "Oh, yeah." God began to enlighten and open their eyes, and transformation began to take place in the followers of Jesus Christ on that Sunday morning, that very first resurrection. So these ladies, they returned from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. My friend, because of Jesus, there is a resurrection. Because of Jesus, prodigal children can come home again. Because of Jesus, marriages can be resurrected. Because of Jesus, friendships can be restored. Because of Jesus, alcoholics can get sober. Because of Jesus, addicts can be set free. Because of Jesus, the broken can be healed. New life can be found. Friendships can be restored. Churches can be revitalized. Because of the resurrection, you can live every single day in love, joy, and peace.
Amen.
It is possible when you walk with Jesus. My friend, because of the resurrection, hope can be found. So today I want to encourage you, the next time you're confused, remember the resurrection. As Rob comes to prepare, we're going to do invitation a little differently today. We are also going to have communion during our invitation time. This is something I don't know that we've done here before. Rob's got a couple songs, so there's going to be plenty of time for this. There's no reason to worry and no reason to rush. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that today is the day that you finally confess to God that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. That you'll come forward and let myself or Gabriel, one of our ladies, show you how you can be transformed and how the resurrection of Jesus Christ can transform your life. I pray today is the day that you are saved. For those of you who are Christians, maybe you need to come to the altar because you've been living in confusion. And you've been allowing your confusion to cause you to act out of fear and not out of faith. And there's some things you need to get right. Or maybe you just want to come to the altar and say, Jesus, thank you for the great exchange. But whatever it is, go ahead, Ron. Come forward and pray. But we also have the communion tables up here today. Our communion is open to anyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You do not have to be a member here. You are welcome to come. Take a piece of bread. Take a cup of the grape juice and spend just a moment in prayer, remembering the resurrection, crucifixion, and everything that Jesus has done for you. Come as a single. Maybe come with your spouse. Come as a whole family. Spend some time with your Heavenly Father. Spend some time this morning remembering the resurrection. My only request this morning is that you don't allow kids to come up by themselves. Bring your kids with you if they want to come. With heads bowed and eyes closed, our gracious Heavenly Father, because of the shed blood of Christ on the cross, our sins are forgiven. Because of the resurrection, we have been promised a new and eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, Father, forgive us where we fail. Forgive us when we act out of fear and not of faith. I pray this morning that there is anyone who is not saved, that today is the day they come to know you as Savior. I pray that folks will get right with you today so that they can walk out those doors living in victory and not in defeat, walking in faith and not in fear. And I pray that as we come to the communion table, our hearts are humbled and we walk away clean. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry so we can continue to expand and grow so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you and have a great day.